Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. The first episode of this radio show was released at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in it, I gave a shout out to the high school class of 2020 that had a very different senior year than they expected. They were in school one day and then suddenly realized that they were not returning to high school for the rest of the year. Rites of passage such as graduation and senior trips were canceled, some lost family members to COVID, and things were rough. One member of the Da Vinci High School class of 2020 was my sister Zara, who is graduating this year from UC Berkeley. I started high school during the pandemic and went through a couple of years of online and hybrid school, and every pandemic teen has their own story of coming of age during the pandemic. In May of 2023, more than 3 years after COVID-19 was designated as a pandemic, the World Health Organization declared an end to the global public health emergency for COVID-19. But COVID-19 is still around, and the virus continues to mutate into other variants, causing infections, hospitalizations, and deaths, especially in the elderly and people with weak immune systems. In the aftermath of the pandemic, what's the new normal for teens, and how has this experience prepared us to handle other such emergencies that could shut down our infrastructure and schools for prolonged periods? How can we better support our teens the next time something like this happens? That's what this episode of Time Out Radio is all about. Stress, mental health struggles, illnesses, unemployment, and financial hardships in their families, and food insecurity were some of the many issues teens faced. Some teens who were shy or went through anxiety or bullying in school said that taking a break from in-person school for a while was okay with them. However, a large number of teens faced academic challenges, especially in reading and math. Well-off families had parents who could work from home, help their kids with difficult concepts, and hire private tutors. But Zoom school was a challenge for English learners and teens from poorer families. They faced a lack of access to the internet and computers for online access. Their parents had to work in jobs outside the house to make ends meet, leaving their kids alone at home, which led to kids just not showing up to online classes. About 200,000 teens lost a parent or caregiver to COVID-19. Teens faced health problems too. Children in general were less likely to get sick from COVID, but they were at a higher risk for a medical condition called multi-system inflammatory syndrome, in which different body parts such as the heart, lungs, kidneys, or brain get inflamed. Kids and teens also missed their regular checkups and shots. Scans of the brains of teens showed that their brains aged at a much higher rate during the pandemic. 3 whole years during only 10 months of the pandemic. This kind of premature aging is similar to what is seen in the brain scans of teens who go through violence, neglect, or family dysfunction, and it puts them at a higher risk of cancer, diabetes, and heart disease when they're adults. With school closures and physical distancing limiting social interaction, many teens turn to social media in their search for community. It became a way for teens to interact with their peers, express themselves, maintain their relationships and build new ones, stay in touch with what was going on in the world outside their homes, and cope with the pandemic. Many turned to multiplayer online video games to replace face-to-face interaction and to reduce stress. Our guest on today's episode is pediatric infectious disease specialist Dr. Dean Blumberg. Dr. Dean is a host of the Kids Considered podcast, and he was a guest on episode 25 of Time Out Radio back in 2021 when we spoke about how kids and teens can stay safe and healthy during the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Dean and I reconnect 3 years later to talk about what the pandemic taught us about how to support teens during public health emergencies and how schools and high school sports can prepare for future pandemics. Then we explore our place of the week, the city of Geneva, home to the headquarters of the World Health Organization. Up next is The Thrill of Almost by Maxwell Luke.
Last night I slept in your favorite band shirt, and it felt kinda special, but maybe detrimental. Should I? I wept till my teeth hurt, and it felt kinda hateful, but maybe sentimental. Forgetting details of your face feels like forgetting my own name. But perhaps it's not my place if we were living something anyway. You were mine, and it missed in a quick kiss, so I put it all on the line. Maybe I just like the feeling of getting so damn close. Maybe what I'm missing is the thrill of almost. Just a rush of wanting something I can't have, and I could never feel excited even when I went home crying. Delusion of mine told me I was up to something. Tears of your face feels like forgetting my own name. But perhaps it's not my place if we were never something anyway. But it was a really convincing and dopamine high, so much so I could have sworn that you were. So damn close, maybe what I'm missing is the thrill of almost getting everything I want, almost being somebody, someone, almost having you, almost getting everything I want, almost being somebody, someone, almost having you.
Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Our guest on today's episode is Dr. Dean Blumberg, who is a pediatric infectious disease specialist at UC Davis Health and UC Davis Children's Hospital. He was a guest on a past episode of Time Out Radio all the way back in 2021 when he spoke about how to stay safe and healthy during the COVID-19 pandemic. And so Dr. Dean now joins us almost a full 3 years later. So Dr. Dean, a lot has happened over the past 4 years since mid-March of 2020, specifically on March 11th, which is when the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 to be a global pandemic. And, you know, life has changed drastically during this worldwide crisis, and, you know, things have never been quite the same. So in your opinion, how is the world different after the COVID pandemic?
I think we're all very aware of the toll that respiratory infections can have on us, especially with COVID, and maybe more of an appreciation of influenza and RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, also. And we're aware of who's more at risk for severe disease, who's more vulnerable. So, you know, hopefully we're all aware of that. And I think that's changed. So that people's behaviors have changed also. And we've all been traumatized by the pandemic and the lockdowns and all that. So it still feels like we're still trying to get back to normal.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, you were guested back on episode 25 of Time Out Radio back in May of 2021 when we spoke about what children's and teens can do to prevent the spread of COVID on school campuses and when playing sports. As you know, this was the time when we were starting to go back to school after distance learning. So 3 years after that conversation, how big of a threat really is COVID now?
It's still pretty much a big threat. You know, I like to think of it in relative in comparison to influenza. And at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, the mortality rate, the percentage or proportion of people who died who got COVID was about 4 or 5 times compared to that of people who got influenza. So it was much more severe. And now further on in the pandemic, where people generally have immunity because of previous infection or vaccination or both, it's less severe, but it's still about twice as severe compared to influenza. And we still have people dying every day from COVID in the US. So it's getting closer to something like influenza that we're all familiar with, but it's not quite there yet.
Yeah. And, you know, school, work, traveling, shopping, and social life, everything was done, you know, very differently during the pandemic. And this must have affected how other diseases spread and evolved. So are there any surprising things in the world of infectious diseases that occurred after COVID cases declined?
Yeah, one of the interesting things that you mentioned was because everybody was staying home and masking, there was a decrease in a lot of infectious diseases. So the common cold, influenza, even gastrointestinal illnesses, they all dropped to historic lows because there were less opportunities for transmission. And then when people started going back to their usual activities, these have come back. And we've seen it's taken a while to get back to the normal patterns of transmission. We saw some summer outbreaks of traditional winter respiratory diseases just because there was a pent-up lack of immunity among the population. And now we are getting back to normal, I think, with these normal summer diseases and then winter diseases.
Yeah. And the world, you know, changed significantly during the pandemic with lockdowns, masks, and then testing, which became regular parts of our daily life. What lessons did we learn from the COVID pandemic that can, you know, help us prepare for future pandemics?
Well, I think one of the things we learned was how effective masking was. So masking and vaccination were probably the two most important things to protect people against COVID during the time when they were most vulnerable. And I don't know if you remember early in the pandemic, people were like coming home from work and taking off their clothes in the garage because they didn't want to contaminate things, or bringing groceries in and letting them sit for several days, or sanitizing the cans and boxes that they got from the grocery store. And it's just not transmitted that way. So that was a lot of kind of wasted energy. So we learned that. So some of the things we were doing were really theoretical, but really didn't make sense, like the wiping down of groceries, whereas other things were really practical and did make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, the future is likely to bring us more public health problems because of, you know, climate change, deforestation, droughts, wars. How prepared do you think we are now for the next big public health emergency?
Well, I'd like to think that people have more of an appreciation for what all of our people in public health, our public health professionals do, and what a great job they did during the pandemic. On the other hand, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the public health actions became politicized also during the pandemic. So I really don't know what's going to happen. I do anticipate there's always going to be some emerging infectious diseases, but something like this pandemic, I mean, I'm hopeful that this is really a once-in-a-lifetime sort of event. So I hope that we don't ever have to experience this again. Really, this is something that should occur about every 100 years or so.
Mm-hmm. And for my listeners who may be interested in future careers in healthcare, what kinds of people are involved in planning for and preventing pandemics, and what sorts of professions do they work in?
Yeah, well, the people who are really in the on the front lines, I think, are the people who are MPHs, people who have Masters of Public Health, and they may have other degrees also, but these are people who do go into public health, who see the big picture, who can see, you know, what is the impact of having a lockdown? What about the rules that we should be following, and really counting the cases and doing tracing of cases and contacts and all. That's all very important. The people who collect all those numbers in terms of number of infections, number of hospitalizations and deaths, without the data, we really don't have any information to make any decisions. So those are the people on the front lines. But, you know, there's other people who are also very important. So nurses, doctors, statisticians are all very important. Engineers are important. And then a lot of laboratory technicians are important too. Right now, people may have heard of the wastewater surveillance that goes on, not only with COVID, but other diseases such as norovirus and others. And this can help inform when communities are going to be impacted with infectious diseases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so pretty much, you know, all of my high school years were during the pandemic. And needless to say, this was not kind of your typical high school experience. And so in looking at the last couple of years, what were some of the things that people discovered about what teens need during public health emergencies?
Well, I can think of two main things. And one is that we all know that there was a lot of learning loss because of homeschooling and remote learning. It just didn't work as well as people being at school. And so there's some catch up that needs to be done with that. And then the other impact is the mental health impact. We know that the lack of socialization because of the lockdowns really led to a lot more teen anxiety disorders, depression, and it did lead to an increase in suicide risk also. So certainly if something like this happens again, we really have to emphasize to pay more attention to those areas and really prevent the learning loss and prevent the mental health impacts on teens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so how can schools and, you know, high school sports prepare for future pandemics based on what we learned? Because that was another big problem in terms of shutting down athletics.
Well, one thing that we know is that there's some sports that really should be very low risk for transmission. So depending on the pandemic, on the characteristics of the pandemic agent, you know, for example, with COVID, being outside was much less of a risk than indoor sports. So anything that occurred outside, whether it was track or football or soccer, that was much less of a risk than something like basketball or wrestling. You know, wrestling's very close contact. And even indoor sports, maybe swimming in an indoor pool, you're not that close to other people. And so those sorts of sports, tennis, you're not very in close proximity to other competitors or team members. And so those can also be very safe.
And do we have any sort of thoughts about where and when the next big pandemic could arise in terms of like the conditions of it and what kind of infection could cause it, hypothetically?
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there to be scared of. So, you know, there's bird flu, and that's constantly evolving and could be the next threat. People may have heard of Nipah virus, which is occurs in Southeast Asia primarily, and that's the one that the movie Contagion from about 10 or 15 years ago, that was the agent that was modeled on. And so there's a whole bunch of viruses that are out there in nature that can cross over, mutate just a little bit, and then start epidemics in humans.
Mm-hmm. And so lastly, how much damage could the next big pandemic cause? Could we be talking about something similar like COVID with just some shutdowns and masking, or could it be something even bigger or worse?
Well, you know, it could be worse, but I'm hopeful that we have early detection systems in place and we can have rapid actions that we can take, that hopefully we've learned from this past pandemic, what works, what doesn't work. So I'm hopeful that if we do get some new novel infectious agent that does appear to be transmissible among humans and a threat to humans, I'm hopeful we'll be able to nip it at the bud and so that it won't have such severe impact.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Dean, for joining us on Time Out Radio today.
Thank you.
All right, that's Dr. Dean Blumberg, pediatric infectious disease specialist at UC Davis Health. And that was Ultraviolet by Love, Love, Love. In today's travel segment, we visit the city of Geneva, home to 200,000 people. It's located in southwestern Switzerland and stretches along both sides of the Rhone River as it emerges from Lake Geneva, the largest lake in the Alps. Geneva is the second largest city in Switzerland after Zurich and the most international city in Europe. Half of its population is from outside Switzerland. Geneva's official language is French, but English is widely spoken there because of the large expat population that works in its banks and other businesses. Geneva is known all over the world for making watches and precision instruments. Many international organizations are headquartered there, including the United Nations, the Red Cross, the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, and the World Economic Forum. CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, is famous for its large and powerful particle accelerator and for being at the birthplace of the World Wide Web. In March of 1989, Tim Berners-Lee, a scientist working at CERN, submitted a proposal to his boss to develop a new way of linking and sharing information over the internet, what we know today as the World Wide Web. One of Geneva's most famous landmarks is Jet d'Eau, a fountain on Lake Geneva, where 130 gallons of water per second are shot out to a height of 475 feet. You can even see it when flying over Geneva. It was not originally supposed to be a fountain. Back in 1886, the city opened a hydraulic pumping station on the Rhone River to power factories. At the end of each day, when the factories were shut down, a valve was used to release the water pressure in the air. People enjoyed it so much that it soon became a symbol of the city. It was eventually relocated to the center of the lake and has been at its current location for over 130 years. The jet was shut down between March and June of 2020 because of COVID-19 public health measures. Because of the effects of the lake and the surrounding mountains, Geneva has a pleasant temperate climate year-round. It is a great base for skiing and hiking on alpine slopes, as well as water sports right on Lake Geneva. Chocolate lovers are in for a treat. You can enjoy Swiss chocolate all over the city, and even go to chocolate workshops, tours, and tastings where you can learn about the process of chocolate making and even make your own unique chocolate creation. So that wraps up our journey to our place of the week, Geneva, Switzerland. Alright, let's call a timeout for Timeout Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to KDIRT 95.7 FM with Grassroots Grow. Have a great day, everyone.